Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 7, The Broken Man. Stay with us. Let's find out who's broken.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, there was an exciting little reveal at the beginning of this episode, yes. So let's talk about it in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host for this after show. My name is Kyle Maddock. To my left, I have the one and only Kristen Snyder.
Hello.
Over there, I've got Sarah Stretton.
Kristen's very sexy today.
I'm wearing a bralette.
Whoa.
It's very sexy. It's
wow. Very sexy.
Whoa, I don't even know what to say to that. There we go. Sarah Stretton over here, ladies and gentlemen.
Is on the table. Oh, hello.
And Ryan Malady over there.
Vala Magulis, everyone. I'm sitting here at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV for the live chat. It's still loading on my end, so if you're in there without me, I know you're going to be just fine because we got the best fans in the world chatting away about Game of Thrones. Let's do so here together now.
Here we are.
Here we are. Ba 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 ba.
Guys,
let's do it.
We don't have any wine today. I don't know what's going on.
But it's really hot out.
I dropped the ball on that one. Guys.
It's really hot.
The Hound is back. Here we go. Right from the beginning, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Are we kicking off with a bang? Is this a surprise? Were you surprised by this?
No.
Did you think he was coming back?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for me?
He had to come back because we didn't see him die. And yep. I've never seen a lingering death, you know, an assumed death in Game of Thrones.
Except for Stannis.
So with that theory, yes, Stannis.
Well, we saw the sword come down.
But, I mean, we didn't see dead Stannis.
It was confirmed.
It was confirmed.
That's all I'm saying is it was unconfirmed.
I'm just putting a loophole in what you just said. You know what else was confirmed? Jon Snow's death. So you know what? Anything can go in this show, obviously.
I guess you're right. Well, I'm glad he's back, because I started to fall in love with the Hound right when he fell.
So we have the one and only Ian McShane arriving in Westeros to bring the Hound back to life. We get the story about how he found him. He was on Death's Door. And did you guys catch his character's name? I think it was Rey? Is that what I saw?
I think we've made
Chat,
up
please confirm.
Rey as his name. His lovely golden pendant necklace. We'll just say is called Rey.
There we go. Yeah, we were watching it with closed captions, and it said Rey before what he was saying. So I'm kind of going with Rey until we find out from our lovely listeners if that is right or wrong.
But guys, I'm so happy he's back. Someone's saying Deadwood. Yes. Ian McShane was amazing in Deadwood, but also I'm just so glad the Hound is back.
Yes.
This changes everything, and it really helps when people were talking about the Clegane Bowl and how, you know, he can fight for the faith now.
The Clegane Bowl.
The mountain. That's really exciting. Like,
I think we got a little evidence of that as well, because Ian McShane, or Rey possibly, says the gods aren't done with you yet. Which makes me think the gods could call on him for this fight.
But his path to serving the gods after wrongdoings or sin was adding goodness to the world and not proceeding with more death.
Yes.
Which hasn't ever been the Hound's MO.
It's sad. He's back and you kind of want this turnaround where he has maybe found God or the gods and has come around, and maybe he's a nice guy, he's going to stop killing now and everything. And then almost immediately everybody, all his new friends and everything, just, I mean, we're laughing, but it's just
they
such a quick, like,
died.
Hey, fake out, guys. We were going to make him good, and he was going to be a good guy, but no, he's still going to be this murderer with an axe now. He's like the new Jason Voorhees of Westeros.
Nice.
Gosh.
I like that guy. He was full of gems. I wrote down a bunch of quotes that he said, you know, it's never late to come back. A nice theme that is going to follow Mr. Clegane coming back to
revenge. If the fans love you enough, you can survive.
Yeah, if the fans love you, you can come
brutal
back.
Brutal injuries.
Most of all, though, violence is a disease. You can't cure it by spreading it to others. And then the Hound comes back with, you can't cure it by dying either.
Yeah.
So we saw both of those things come full circle right at the end.
He had quite a few gems in there.
We had someone in the chat. So we don't have chat on the computer. I'm just seeing the chat scroll on this faraway TV. But someone asked where we thought the Hound was. And when we introduced this possibly Brotherhood Without Banners as the killers of the episode, murderers, yeah, right? Evil riders up on horses.
They were definitely the bad guys here.
Mm-hmm. And that also leads us to believe where they are, because the last time the Brotherhood was up banners was mentioned was when I believe we were talking about the area kind of surrounding River Run and surrounding the Freys, because that was like in the list of all the things they were dealing with. Like they were dealing with the Blackfish, mm-hmm. they were dealing with raids, or being hounded by the Brotherhood Without Banners.
Absolutely.
So I think that's kind of the area, like geographically, that we're dealing with.
We're definitely somewhere in the south. It doesn't seem too far from where the Hound's last stand was, you know, with Brienne there. So it's got to be around there. And I doubt Ian McShane lugged his butt all across the Westeros continent there. So he found him, brought him back, and we're there, and we're building a church. Ryan, what's up, man?
Well, I was just curious. You know, we got a really good look with Beric Dondarrion, right? And that whole Brotherhood Without Banners, and when they had Arya, and I kind of liked them. I thought they seemed like moral, just men, and now here we see them doing this. You know, I don't know if you have any insight from the books. Well, who are these men, and what was their ultimate goal? Because I feel like killing innocent women and children who are building a church doesn't really seem befitting of a freelance noble group like that.
Yeah, when they first came around, it was sort of to keep the wrong the rights of the death of like Robert and Ned Stark, and I think what they have become is just sort of a commentary on war and what happens when your land is just sort of devastated and the lengths that you have to go to, and maybe you become the bad guy. And at first they seem like they were good and everything, but remember they kidnapped in a way, you know, trying to sell off Arya, and they were hanging people left and right when we met them before. So they weren't the best of guys back then, but, you know, when there's little food and lots of war going on and bad things, you know, you gotta...
They seem to have crossed, like, another line, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like the last time we saw them, no, they weren't completely righteous, but they had this kind of Robin Hood, men of tights type of feel. They were like kind of joked with themselves. They were funny. They were entertaining. They were also skilled warriors. And now we've transferred into how they're presented when they came up on horseback in this.
The bad
was
guys.
Just straight bad guys. There was none of that kind of wit that we had before when we saw them. So it just seems like they've gotten worse and worse.
In their defense, I'll play devil's advocate here. In their defense, it was three soldiers. The Brotherhood Without Banners is a lot larger than that, and there are plenty armies that are on the good side where there are a couple soldiers that go off and do some bad stuff, you know? We like the Dothraki army, but there they are raping women left and right. Like, they do, like, there are bad seeds everywhere you go.
But there was also something to be said of the fact that they did show up on horseback. They looked like they were, like, really decked out, like, in what they were wearing. Before, we were seeing them in caves, kind of wandering around on foot and singing, and now you're sending three representatives, all who have horses, all who looked fully equipped. Well, it doesn't really seem like you're in need of stealing food.
You're saying representatives here. How do you know those men weren't acting on their own?
Yeah, exactly. True. And you know what I like about this is we get the other side of a villain, which you don't always get. Like, they don't know these people. The only people we care about there is the Hound. And that, okay, we're respectful that these are his friends. But it's nice, I think, to actually see the Brotherhood Without Banners and the way they really are when they're not singing songs, when they're not being jolly, you know? Because I liked them whenever we met up with them earlier in the show. And like a lot of people are saying in the chat, they were confused that they were bad in this episode.
Yeah.
So as a plot device, here these guys are. They captured the Hound once. So he's already kind of had a run-in with them once. And now they killed his whole family.
Yep.
All right, so they're obviously a vehicle for revenge for the Hound, or a driving force of hate, right? But how else do you think they're going to play into the story? Like, is the Brotherhood Without Banners, are they bigger than what we realize? Are they going to come into play? Are they going to pick a side?
I think it's going to be the Hound leading them. It's going to be his new army. I think he'll flip a coin and have the Brotherhood follow him.
That's a theory I have.
I like
not
that.
Heard.
Okay,
I
mean, the Hound's army.
The
I like that.
Questions we keep getting this season is the want for men. So much is just like what wars are actually shaping, and if the Brotherhood Without Banners has grown to such a size that they are a force that could contend with some sort of army, that could be a big plot point.
Who
Who knows?
And hopefully they got chickens, because the hound looks hungry.
Yeah, so I'm wondering what we're going to find out when we get more of the Brotherhood Without
Banners.
But
he's killing with an axe now.
I think we're going to. I wonder if Beric Dunsdarian is still there, because, you know, that guy has a tendency to die a lot. So
they're still worshipping the Lord of Light.
So maybe we have some new leadership. I don't know. We'll find out.
I'm excited to see what he uses that axe for, though. And who. For who.
Yeah. So, Ryan, I think you got a little something-something.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do this now. Hey, guys. All right. So here at AfterBuzz TV, we're able to put on this show and the studio and talk about all these different shows for free to you on YouTube and iTunes. And the way we keep it free is by having sponsors. So I'd like to convey a little sponsor message from one of our excellent sponsors, Chapman University. Okay? Chapman University is located in Orange County, California, 16 miles from the beach, 30 miles from L.A., and a few minutes away from Disneyland.
That's the
selling point. Disneyland, guys.
Disneyland.
Education is important, but Disneyland is extremely important.
Disneyland University? I'd go there.
And that was Star Wars going on. Oh, bring it on.
You know, there's about 8,000 students who are enrolled in the undergraduate and graduate programs there. They're best known for their programs in film and in television, okay? Business, science, and technology, not to be confused with Scientology.
I had a friend who graduated from Chapman. He was in the film division. I used to go down there and help him with scenes all the time. And,
really?
Yeah, it was a beautiful campus, and the classes were cool. They were smaller, and I would go in, and we'd do a little scene that he was going to be shooting and everything, and it was a really cool experience.
And the classes, they're smaller, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, see, it says here that the student-to-faculty ratio is 14 to 1.
There
classes
we go.
Are small. I went to a small school, business school, and I really liked it. You know, compared to those large lecture halls where you don't really get the attention.
It makes such a difference.
Yeah, you're paying money for education. You might as well get your money's worth. It sounds like Chapman has a bunch of different ways you can get your money's worth. They've got 10 different schools and colleges, more than 100 different majors and programs, literally something for everyone. And as far as, you know, outside extracurricular stuff, there's close to 200 clubs and student organizations here at Chapman.
Yes.
So there's literally dozens of opportunities to study abroad, here at home, for short trips, for entire semesters. You can go to Bravos, you can go to you can study abroad there.
Disney University, someone said on the chat.
Disney
pretty
much. Yes.
It's a small world after all. And here's the best part. 86% of students benefit from some sort of financial aid. So you may not have to pay for this education entirely yourself, okay? For more information, check it out at www.chapman.edu/information. That's chapman.edu/information. Check it out, educate yourself, and stay in school, kids.
Woohoo! Right?
Or awesome. You might end up like the hound, killing and doing nothing.
Jeez.
Chapman University.
We don't quite live in this world.
There you go.
It's a little different.
A little different. Thank you very much for that, Ryan.
Thank you.
Let's head back to King's Landing, where the High Sparrow and Marjorie are having a little lesson themselves. And High Sparrow's wondering why Marjorie hasn't done her wifely duty here. And
despite her reading from the mother, the book of the mother.
She did good.
You know, I'm really surprised she ever did to begin with. I mean, it was just all an act, and now she's playing a different act, and this different act, she can be faithful and not bed Tommen, which I don't think she ever wanted to do.
Has she slept with Tommen yet at all?
Yeah, she did, like, right away. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was like, I could do this again.
Yeah.
Like, how do people ever stop pretty much?
Keeping him thirsty.
Was that like a home run, or was that...
Oh, yeah.
Was it? I can't quite remember that scene, but it was. Okay.
Because it's not... He wasn't concerned.
We never saw the scene. We saw the after.
Wait a minute, guys. As far as he knows, it's a home run. Maybe she told him that's all there is.
I know. Maybe it was just a happy ending or something. Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
No, remember, this is when she was worried about, was she going to be the queen... She had to really set things straight, because there was the problem with the fact that she never consummated the marriage with Joffrey because he was killed at their wedding reception.
Mm-hmm. Point.
So she was like, we are consummating this now.
Boom, 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 boom. So the High Sparrow says, we need an heir to continue our work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, High Sparrow's plan. He is. Yeah, because he wants this child that he can just raise up within the blanket of the faith, huh?
He's playing the long game now.
Holy cow. He is... Yeah.
That's what you took away from this?
Yes, what did you take?
What I took away was the fact that he was like, the woman doesn't have to feel any desire. She just has to be patient.
Yes, Congress doesn't...
And then he was like, and then we can punish your grandmother. This is what I was taking away. I was like, I don't know if I really respect the High Sparrow's point of view on women. Slowly but surely.
What?
Yeah.
You don't?
Yeah. Surely.
No, he doesn't. I don't respect his position. Well, you know, I do. I respect the High Sparrow because he's smart. I like characters in this universe who play the long game, who play two moves ahead. It's like chess. You know what I mean? Like, I love Peter Baelish because he plays the long game.
Okay.
You know, the moves that he's making are very calculated. But I also have to give Marjorie credit because I feel like she's playing. Obviously, we saw her pass the note to the Queen of Thorns. It's showing her allegiance.
I have a question for you then, Ryan. Do you think the High Sparrow is playing two steps ahead when he brings up Olenna there? Or do you think he really slipped and he kind of gave Marjorie a little warning there of his future plans to sort of go after her? Or do you think he was playing her go talk to her grandmother?
No, I think Marjorie's doing a really... She's playing a real committed role. I mean, she's memorized verses. She hasn't been sleeping with her husband. You know, like, he had to come to her to say, you need to get in there, you know? Mm-hmm. You need to sleep with your husband. We need to... He kind of, I feel like, showed his hand a little bit, saying, we need to produce an heir.
Okay.
We need to, you know, because for the better good of the people. So
as far as the queen, though, I feel like he wanted her to get the queen to leave.
Yeah, I think it was very transparent with that.
To get Olenna to leave.
Yeah. I think we're trying.
Sorry, I'm getting my queens mixed up. The queen of thorns.
I feel like we're trying to make this storyline as interesting as possible. Okay. But, like, how convoluted is everyone's plan?
Everybody's
like, how far ahead are we? And I kind of just want to catch up to what the plan is at this point.
What is Lady Marjorie's plan?
There you go. She kind of tips off her grandmother here. She's able to sneak her a note with Septon Unella watching like a hawk over there. But slips her the note with the rose, and I think that's hey, I'm still a Tyrell.
What are the words of House Tyrell?
Growing strong.
So I think that was just a little message to her saying, hey, listen, I got it. I got a plan. I haven't forgotten about our house. Okay, the plan is growing strong. Just trust me.
Just trust me. Get out because you're in danger. Mm-hmm. Gave her the warning,
which is cool because I love it when people conspire. So I was actually getting kind of concerned that Marjorie had lost herself, but no.
So what did they say about Loras here? That he has to give up his title. That's what Marjorie was saying.
Give up his title and kind of his. Almost every link he has. So his lands, he will no longer take over Highgarden.
He's got to give up everything.
Yes, he will be, but he will be a free man. And he also will have to serve some sort of penance.
Okay. He has to join the church, didn't he?
I didn't take that away. I just took that there was some sort of other punishment, like how we've had kind of the walk. Like, there could be something for him.
Hmm.
But it has not been explicitly identified.
I'm just excited that it looks like it's going to come to a head next week because this whole storyline is so boring to me. I hate it.
You just want
to
see Gregor Stein just kill some sparrows.
Yeah. I want to see the mountain. Is that what we're calling him? Sir Gregor Stein and the hound, the Cleganebowl. That's the only thing that interests me right now. Like, just get rid of the High Sparrow. I really don't care about Marjorie or her brother. I don't. Okay. I like the Queen of Thorns, but as far as their characters go, I don't really care what happens.
You just
want to
see blood and violence, I think.
I just feel like they haven't made those characters, like, interesting. I don't care who lives or dies. And
I think a part of it comes from the fact that they have been hiding so much of what the plan is.
Yeah, that's good.
That
point.
I can't really, like, root for a character because I don't know where they're headed. And
that's
instead
a great point,
of it being like, ooh, mysterious and suspenseful, it's just like, well, I'm not relating that to this because I want to know what's going on.
We're two in the dark
with
what's going on there. So we get Cersei and Olenna here, and they need each other. They need each other, this fight, which is not going to work out too well. I don't know. Do you see these two coming together?
No way.
Olenna's like, I'm out of here.
No and way. You should too.
There's going to be no moment where she actually helps Cersei at all or anything.
Again, making so much out of something that wasn't there. We could say the whole speech is about Cersei's mistakes, but the real mistake that's happening is that the Queen of Thorns isn't accepting this, not apology, but acknowledgement of wrongdoing, and this olive branch to fight this together. Is this her worst mistake by being prideful and walking away?
Hmm.
Like, now is she going to be in trouble?
I think the queen's only mistake is not killing Cersei and taking over the kingdom now that there's no one else there.
Oh, yeah, the Lannister army is over at, was it River Run?
Yeah.
I think, all right, so the High Sparrow's goal is what? World domination through faith. Yes?
World living in poverty type setting.
He wants to be the Pope. He wants to, like, lead the you know, he wants to be the religious head of
he already is.
Almost. He's on two pillars. Yeah. There's the faith and the crown. And
you think he wants just the crown gone?
I think he wants to be the secret leader behind
the
Pope.
Yeah, exactly. He can take the power. You can get a figurehead lord. If Tommen and Marjorie have this kid and he raises them up in the light of the seven from birth.
Do you think that's his goal?
Yeah, I think so.
I agree. I think so. With Kyle.
Because then you have, I mean, maybe that king will become the Heist Bro and you'll have this one who leads everything.
Oh, that sounds terrible. And so
sounds
like in order for that to stop, the Heist Bro has to be shot out of the sky, so to speak.
I don't think this High Sparrow needs to be shot out of the sky. I think the High Sparrow has to be shown, like, this version of the religion kind of has to be shown as wrong. Because he has said that from what they see, from what how they've placed the religion towards
the people
if any of them die, the spaces will just be filled. Like, there has to be a stronger
like a political vacuum.
So we're all just kind of guessing. We're grasping for straws. Let's move on from that. Let's head over to John and Sansa are rummaging through the north, looking for help. They stop off. Their first stop is the Wildlings, where they have 2,000 men, and they are asking the Wildlings for help. And they get it from them with the help of 1-1 there, the giant.
1-1 said one word.
1-1 said snow. And then everybody's like, okay, the giant said yes, let's do this here.
That wasn't really a surprise to any of us, though. I mean, I was surprised it took so long and it wasn't just like, of course, right away.
I just think the giant should have accompanied them on all of their, like, when they went to all the houses. And here's 1-1.
Yeah, that would not help. Are you kidding me? A wildling giant shows up in the northern houses.
No one wants to fight with the wildlings.
Because we get that little later with House Glover. Like, as soon as he's like, who's fighting in the army? Mm-hmm. Tell me who's fighting in the army, besides House Mormont. Says the wildlings, and he's like, no, those rumors are true. I'm out. I'm not doing this.
Right.
No, thank you. You're crazy. The northern houses have been fighting against the wildlings, keeping them on their land for hundreds, thousands of years, however long it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard sell. That's a really hard sell.
But who was sold was Lady Mormont.
Yes.
That's great.
Badass character of the episode right here.
Yeah, I liked her.
Lady Lyanna Mormont, the, what was she, 10 years old?
Yes, 10 years.
And wow, that girl can
ferocious.
Precocious young lass.
So, you guys liked her. She's your favorite character of the episode here?
Definitely.
Yeah.
She was pretty badass. I liked her.
Nice.
And her 62 men. I mean...
But if they're all like her, like Davos said...
Exactly.
Oh, sure.
We've got 620 men, really.
Each one is worth 10 mainlanders.
We do math here.
Most of the army is wildlings, with like a few, you know, others. Where... Do we have any, like... Did Jon Snow have any other army at all? Are there any other Stannis' men? Is there anybody else besides who we're hoping joins the fight? Baelish's army?
Does he have anybody else?
Anything else?
Well, we get a little later on that they have the Hornwoods and they have the Maesons. We learn that a little later. But I'm still hung up on how they sold this to Lady Mormont, which is they came right out and they told her that the dead are coming.
You'd think that'd be a harder selling
point.
Yeah,
I thought they would take a little, like, the maester would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I guess the northern lords are a lot more willing to believe in this.
They just need the head of a White Walker to walk around with and say, hey, see? They're back.
It seems when they cut them, they turn to ice and shatter.
That's hard for transportation, I see.
But hard for transportation.
I feel like at the end of every season, it always boils down to that. Oh, the army of the dead is coming. Like, it's us versus the dead, you know?
Mm.
And then the beginning of the next season, everyone kind of forgets about that until kind of the end. So when it comes down to the end of the season, I think everyone's going to band together because they have to.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out on the chat that the Iron Island wasn't able to take the Bear Island. Is that true with 62 men? Does the Iron Island attempt to take Bear Island?
Well, we get from the Glovers that the Iron Islands attacked them, and I'm not sure the geographical difference between the two in my head, but the Iron Islands certainly attacked the Glovers, and so it made me think that maybe they would attack the Mormonts as well.
Well, that gives us hope.
Strong.
Yeah, that gives us hope.
So they're holding out with that. But we get them going back to where Stannis made his camp, and there's fighting happening. This little alliance between the Northerners and the Wildlings isn't going to be that easy to keep on going. We get the fighting happening, and Sansa finally comes to the realization that she needs to send somebody a letter. And we all believe this is Peter.
We think it's Peter Baelish, because if she's sending, the only other people I think she's mentioned was her uncle.
Does she have any other friends?
She mentioned Blackfish at some point, and they have their own problems. What I realized most in this episode is that Sansa really needs to step up her game as if she is going to play the role of the leader of House Stark, who is going out there for her house and recruiting. Because I understand she's been through a lot, but I had hope that she was learning at least a little bit of this political game through being around Peter Baelish for so long. Through being around Littlefinger. Yeah. Like, a long time ago when we were still in the area, like, she came out transformed, different look. And now she's embracing the Stark name, but she still hasn't really figured out how to back that up or encourage anyone or get anyone to stand behind her.
I agree. Same with Jon Snow. You would think that after everything he's been through, I mean, he's led some pretty inspiring, you know, charges against enemies, and he's inspired a lot of men to fight with him. But, you know, watching these negotiations go down, it's, you know, Silver Tongue, Ser Davos, who really clenched those 62 guys. Other than that, I'm not really impressed with this trio. I mean, you would think. But it's hard, you know. You got one girl who there's rumored to be married to the Imp, married to a Bolton. You know, who knows what her story is. And then you got Jon Snow, who's a bastard. You know, it's kind of a hodgepodge of leaders who aren't quite ready to lead.
I feel like Davos reminds me of Tyrion, though. Right? He's kind of taking that hand and, like, giving a voice, his words.
He's good at it.
Yeah.
He's good.
Hopefully Peter Baelish hasn't turned around and started talking to Roose Bolton or anything.
No.
In the meantime,
happen. So, I'm just waiting for the army, the Aaron army, to march up, make their way up there.
Ramsay Bolton.
They're already there. They've just been hiding.
They're a little south, but they'll come up. They'll come up. I can't imagine who else she would write the letter to, so that's who I'm going with on that one.
Since we all think that, it's probably wrong.
We did get confirmation in a way that Brienne is headed south, because she was not with them. I know that was a question I had a couple episodes ago, because we saw them all ride out of Castle Black together, and we didn't really get a decision on that, but Brienne wasn't with them, so it looks like she's heading down to River Run. Right there. And that's where we're going to go next. So, Jaime and Bronn arrive with the Lannister army. I'm kind of happy Bronn's with them. I didn't know he was going to be with them.
You got to love that duo. I love them.
I like how when he asked him, you can be the hand that I lost.
Yeah. I'm like, does he want to be the... Do you want to be my hand that I lost? Do you want to be my right hand?
No, but it was kind of cute. Bronn's like, you promised me a castle and a wife and a kid, and I just want to go do that. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. It made me sad. It made me worry that he won't ever get to do it.
Yeah,
and that
I agree.
He will be gone before he ever kind of gets his reward for all that he's done for Jaime and the whole Lannister clan. It's funny, though. I think this is a rumor. I'm not sure if it's true. But one of the reasons I think we probably haven't been seeing Bronn is when we've been seeing Jaime, it's with Cersei. And supposedly, Bronn and Cersei don't like to film together.
Well, not necessarily Bronn and Cersei, the actors. Yes, I've heard that rumor as well.
So that's, I think,
because
why
we've dated each other?
I think they dated in the past.
And it ended badly.
And so this is why Bronn has been missing.
Scenes together.
Off on his own.
Funny.
Interesting.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would help the scene, right? Nothing like pulling from your own emotions.
Apparently they refuse to talk to each other on set.
I think that'd be great.
Imagine being on set.
I'm really excited for you to tell us. You said this next scene that we're talking about was your favorite in the book, so I'm excited for you to tell us why.
Well,
and
let me
what there was missing.
Let me preface that with A Feast for Crows. Not very many interesting things happened in that book,
and then Kyle got murdered.
But there was this great scene, and anybody who knows me knows that I like the Blackfish in the book a lot better than I like the one on the show. And there was this interaction where the Blackfish we saw him kind of put Jaime in his place a little bit. He does it tenfold in the book, and he's just like nailing him. Everything Jaime says, he's like, why would I ever believe you? You killed the king you were sworn to protect. Why would I believe everything Jaime says? He just shoves it right back in his face, and it, like, Jaime's like, Oh, jeez. It's amazing.
Kind of like the same thing the Queen of Thorns did to Cersei.
There we go.
Cersei and Jaime are just getting a little taste of their own. Their own tricks don't work anymore.
So we get a taste of that in this scene. And it wasn't as much, but it was definitely, I found it enjoyable. I like this. Blackfish is such a seasoned vet at all this stuff. And Jaime's kind of shaken up. And however many people love him and everything like that, he's...
I liked that the Blackfish kind of felt like it expressed everyone's opinions when he was like, you can just kill him because no one cares. He's going to end up dead. No one cares if he survives.
About Edmure, of course.
Yes.
Edmure, yeah.
I loved the Blackfish in this scene. I mean, I didn't really love him before because I haven't read the books like Kyle.
He was so much better in this scene than we've seen him before.
Yeah, and he always seems to miss the action so far. So I really like him now. I'm excited for these scenes going forward.
If Jaime was to fulfill his oaths, where should he be right now?
Wait, if he was to get Sansa and Arya and bring them back to
I mean, he said
Catelyn?
He was going to get Sansa and Arya. He said he was going to protect Marcella to Cersei, and I feel like there should be some sort of avenging there. Then there's the oath to Cersei to, I believe, never leave her. He has very contradictory promises.
He's kind of made quite a few, and what can he keep? What can he do?
Mm-hmm. I feel like you were going to see him change, though.
But he did send out Brienne to keep his oath. Right, he gave her Oathkeeper, sent her out there, said, hey, get them, I have to stay here for whatever reasons. And, but that argument's not going to go over well.
No.
If you turn it back to his first big oath that he broke that we know about, he would be dead because he should have protected the Mad King during that siege.
Yeah, but I don't worry about that. That's before the show.
That's an old oath.
So I like that we get from Blackfish that he was born in this castle, which I didn't know, and he's prepared to die there. Makes sense. But so I feel like Jaime's going to turn here and not, you know, get the castle for the Freys. What do you guys think?
That's what I thought originally when he was first sent. Because I think Jaime's going to have to take a step away from his family duties. However, now with the teaser for next week, I feel like my whole theory is ruined.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Jaime winning this siege here because I think it is showing his new position as a general and not so much a soldier anymore. And I think if he steps up and does that, he's sort of turning into his father, who was this great military general. And I think we're going to start seeing pieces of that.
But I thought you liked Blackfish.
Yes, and I will hate that because I think that every point that Blackfish made about this really being his home and why it was taken from him and like how it was taken from him by traitors, there's just something so horrible in the symbolism that this castle should belong to the Freys who murdered this whole family at a wedding.
Are you saying that Game of Thrones is going to give you something you want? Because that's not the show I've been watching for many seasons now.
The chat is predicting Jaime's death this season.
Whoa!
It's a big prediction.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
So, anything else before we move on?
I just want to get alliances straight. So the Lannisters are allied or sworn to now, I guess.
The king.
Well, okay. So they're allied, though, with the Boltons and the Freys, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the Lannisters and the Freys are working together, and the Boltons have this kind of fragile little alliance with them, yeah.
Fragile because it was with...
it was with Roose and...
And Lord... the father.
Bruce Bolton?
No.
Wait, Tywin.
Tywin Lannister. Yeah, that after
there's
Tywin
a lot of
died,
people in that alliance who founded that alliance that are now dead, but it still exists.
So, what is Jaime's true motivation to take River Run?
He can get the job done because his son told him to.
After he was stripped of his other job,
the chat is asking if we think the Lannisters will still rise.
Oh, no, they're falling. They're going down.
I feel like this season, almost every house is falling. Mm-hmm. Besides Daenerys with her dragons, almost everyone is falling. The Starks are falling apart. The Aerons are led by Robin.
Yeah.
You have the Boltons the bastard has now killed his father. You have Blackfish, who's taken over his own castle. You have the Freys, who every time we see them just seem to get worse and worse. Mm. Oh, pretty much every house, I feel like, has been really stripped down.
So let's.
The Marcells,
we got quite a bit to
Tyrells,
talk about still. So I think
everything.
I think we're going to move on from there. We're going to head over to Yara and Theon.
Yara.
So they are over in. We get confirmation actually in the Arya scene next that they are in Slaver's Bay. That's where they are right now, and they're at a brothel. And she needs Theon to step it up. She gives him some tough love in this scene, and it is what he needed to hear.
Yeah, because I'm sick of the dog, weak dog act, too. I think we all are. I mean, I am kind of yearning for that asshole he was, like, in the first few seasons. Woo!
How you liking Theon now?
I still don't like Theon! I think I've just decided that I won't like him forever, so I'm stuck.
Oh, man. So we get their plan, is that they are going to do what Euron wants to do, but they're just going to do it before him. They're going to go to Daenerys, they're going to get her, they're going to ally with her, and come back, and they're going to retake the Iron Islands, assuming, I guess, she's going to help them, and they're going to help her take the Seven Kingdoms, or
I think it's
Westeros.
A great plan. Whoever. And I love that she's a lesbian. I think we all did.
She might not be a lesbian.
I don't think
she might like both.
She might. She's just getting some.
I think she's
some.
Just... open.
She just like
she's down for fun.
Like Oberyn. You just she just enjoys the fruits of life.
She's down for a nice ass that you can't find on the Iron Islands.
Boom.
Bam, right there.
We all liked it.
Yeah, okay. Well, they'll if they get there and if they have the ships. I think it's Daenerys doesn't really know what's going on politically. She doesn't care what's going on politically over on the west. I think that whoever shows up at her door with the vehicles that she needs is going to get, you know,
there you go.
Her contract.
But they don't have 1,000 ships.
No.
Like Dario said, they've
nope,
got, what,
no
20
yet.
Or 40 ships or something like that. So I don't know what they're going to do when they get over there, but that's their plan at the moment. I guess they'll figure it out.
People are shipping Varys and Theon. Why?
Well, why don't we throw Grey Worm in there too?
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
It follows that theme nicely.
So, yeah, that's I kind of really liked Yara in this scene. I liked that she was giving him that tough love and changing him around.
Yara's a very capable character. Mm. She's doing the tough love, bringing Theon back. She's always kind of gone by what she believes is right, whether it's like defying her father for her brother. She's been able to lead her crew with like straight loyalty. We've never seen her be betrayed by anyone.
She's the leader, obviously, in this situation. What's Theon's role?
The hand of the queen. We've had him since season one. The hand of the queen.
The hand, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Hand of the queen.
Loyal soldier right there.
Better than Reek.
So, moving on, we have our last scene here. We visit Arya, who is paying for passage back to Westeros, who has a ton of money.
Much like Lady Mormont would in this scene, right? She was very sassy and, like, demanding a cabin and that they leave at dawn, which suits her.
I think it was great. She stepped up. She's like, I'm not this little girl anymore. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Boom.
You ever seen the movie True Grit?
Yes, a long time ago.
Reminded me of that scene with the young girl and Jeff Bridges, you know, just like telling... There's something about a young guy or girl, but usually it's a young woman who really, like, captures that, like, that inspiring... It's something you would just want to follow, that fire of some young woman just taking it by the balls.
She's like, mine.
and then she gets stabbed.
Yeah, so we have this old lady approach her, and we all saw that coming.
Yeah.
Everybody but Arya.
We were all just cringing, just going, come on.
Stab, 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 stab.
You know, at least face her with your own face. Not face off. It's not fair.
She whipped it off at some point.
I was having Red Wedding flashbacks of abdomen stabbing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
People in the chat are saying that they don't think it was Arya with Arya's face on. But Arya's face hasn't been on the wall of faces, so no one can wear Arya's face.
So somebody thinks they think that was somebody else who got stabbed?
Yeah. But that wouldn't make sense because her face hasn't been on the wall yet.
That sounds confusing to me, but...
I don't know about that. I have heard that theory online that was circulating this last week about Arya and the Waif being the same person, kind of a split personality.
Like a Fight Club type of thing?
Fight Club type thing. And I don't know, I guess it's still possible, but I guess it's more unlikely now. Having been stabbed.
That would be some psychodrama craziness.
The fact that she didn't die, though.
That would kind of really cement the psychopath theory that everybody thinks she's been coming.
Nah, the Waif just wanted to kill her. Thought she did.
People are saying maybe she'll take on a Lady Stoneheart role. Do you think that's possible?
Mm. Will Arya?
If she dies.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that.
I just got blah.
Bum, bum, ba-da-dum.
I mean, I didn't read the book, so I'm looking at you, kid.
I can't see that happening, but I'd love to hear an argument about that. That would be very, that would be wild. I don't see that happening. I think they're going down some other road with that, if you guys are book readers. But, I don't know, we'll see. So, how's Arya going to get out of this? How's she going to survive?
She's looking around. She's bleeding all over the place.
She's like half dying. You can see by the way she's looking around. She's not in good shape right now.
No.
I was just trying to figure out if she had any friends in this city. Yeah. Well, and the only person I could think about was the actor. No?
Oh, yeah. I thought about her, Lady Crane or whatever. Mm-hmm. I also thought that Jaqen H'ghar might come and save her because he was never really on board with her being dead, and I don't know. I just feel like he was her friend at some point, and I really don't think he wants her dead. Mm. I think he understands her path that she's come to from.
I'm kind of with you a little bit on that one. Yeah. I think he's going to play a role in what happens to her next.
What about the Bravosi, her dance instructor? What's his
name? Cyril Farrell.
Cyril Farrell.
That would be great if he showed up.
Well, does he have any friends?
Cyril Farrell is probably either dead or...
Oh, he's dead. But, you know, did he have, like, you know, family or
but
possibly something. You guys want to talk about predictions here?
Okay, let's predict stuff. Yes.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh, that was kind of a new one right
there. Yeah, I like that. People are excited for Gendry in the chat. I'm very excited for him.
He's my favorite.
There we go. I didn't even see his face. I missed it.
You didn't?
No.
I thought that was Podrick.
I saw Gendry's face, and the chat's predicting that Gendry will be the one to help Arya, which I like that.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think he could have rode that far.
Well, he was on that boat for many seasons.
Lost direction.
That little rowboat? That was the last time we saw him, right?
I'm excited to see Gregor Stein in action.
Clegane Bowl?
Yes. Well, not necessarily the Clegane Bowl, just Gregor Stein just mowing down some sparrows.
I'm ready to see some just more action in general.
Okay.
I feel like this episode for me was pretty slow.
Pretty slow.
Not a whole lot of... although I'm so excited that the Hound is back, but besides that, pretty mellow today.
I'm scared for the Wrath of the Hound. The way he picked up that axe and just he's like... This is like a horror character.
That's my prediction, is that he's going to get the brothers. He's going to kill a bunch of them, and then they're going to follow him. And he's going to lead them. I liked what somebody in the chat said. They think that Cyril, her teacher, was actually Jaqen H'ghar.
Yeah, people have said that before.
I like that. I like that.
Interesting.
Maybe you can't say it's wrong.
So we do get in the preview for next week, Brienne looked like she indeed is arriving at River Run.
Yes.
And I'm really curious how that's going to work out, because she has to go through Jaime and the Lannister forces before she ever makes it to the Blackfish. How's that going to play out? That's because that's her mission, to go down there and get the troops and bring them back up to the north.
I mean,
you can't just take the troops out when there's a siege going on.
In a dream scenario, Brienne could kind of be a mediator and be like, you want this castle. The Blackfish just wants something to hold on to, because pretty much everything's been taken away from him. And it maybe that, like, revival of want for life could be him supporting Sansa. Mm. And so maybe there could be a nice, like, switcheroo. Like, you take the castle, let them all go in peace, and they will go fight the war.
You just want this nice, peaceful solution. You want action, and then you want peace. I just don't get you, Sarah, over here. But what I'm really scared about is, what is Brienne going to do when she sees Jaime and all she can think about is Tormund Giantsbane? That's what I want to know.
That's hilarious.
I don't know what she's going to do.
That chicken.
Okay. I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
So someone in the chat suggested that maybe it's not the Brotherhood without Banners that killed all those people, and we're just assuming that. So who else could it be
We could be wrong.
Yeah, we could go down that road, but then I think we're doing the same thing where we're just making up stories.
We're making up stuff to make the show better.
This show. We've just been like, what could all of this mean?
But I like that. I think that's a great point.
Very cool.
We assume too much.
Very nice stuff. Anything else, guys?
I was going to predict Clegane Bowl, but that's pretty obvious.
I want Tommen to kill his mother, Cersei.
What?
I'm sorry. I think that'd be cool. I'm kind of sick of Cersei. I think that Tommen's sort of like, he's not, you know, getting any love from his wife. He's probably going a little crazy with all this, like, High Sparrow talk. So maybe he'll be convinced to kill his mom.
No sex equals murder your mom.
I need, like, a real love story to happen again. I'm sorry. I do. I, like, miss, like, I know we have some from Bran and Tormund, and I want that to kind of escalate because no one's been getting together.
I know. It's where's the love, like, in this show?
Yeah. Jamie and Bran coming back together.
Now we are shipping her with someone else, though.
Yeah. That ship has sailed.
Nice. Nice. I'm just going to predict that Peter Baelish is going to swoop in dramatically at the last minute and save the day to win favor with everyone he needs favor with.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
Bring it on, Littlefinger.
All right, thank you guys so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 7, The Broken Man. My name is Kyle Matic. You can find me at Kyle Matic on Twitter.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter and Cinematic_Escape on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Sarah_Stretton. And I would argue that I think this episode should have been called The Broken Men.
There's so many broken men.
Good point.
Very good point. And I am Ryan Malaty. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. And then please, if you liked what you saw today, give us a thumbs up on our video. We love seeing that. Subscribe so you don't miss another channel here and at iTunes. You can listen to our podcast. And leave some comments. We love hearing what you have to say. And, you know, shut our theories down because we...
Give us more theories.
We need more.
Three episodes left, guys.
Valador Harris.
Thank you guys so much for watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.